Hi there. Welcome to Sound Healing Radio. This is David Gibson. And our guest today is Eliana Gilad. Hi, Eliana.
Hi, David. How are you?
Great. How are you doing?
Wonderful. I'm very happy to be here.
Welcome, welcome. What I'd like to do is to start each show, and for the whole show, to choose an intention to hold during the show. Any thoughts as to what might be good?
Authenticity.
Authenticity. Okay, so let's tune into the frequency and energy of authenticity. That will be our intention. Authenticity for everybody. Everybody on the whole planet can say it. Cool. Before we get started, though, I want to tell people about some things happening here at the school. We've got our next semester of the Sound Healing Certificate and Associate Degree Program starting actually September 11th, because the conference is part of the semester. Our Sound Healing Conference is included in the semester. So if you're taking any of that, you get the conference for free, although it's not free. We are paying for the whole semester anyway. So then what we're going to do is we'll take off 2 weeks to recuperate, and we'll start up again on October 5th here at the Institute in San Francisco. So the certificate program is the first semester of the degree program, and it's 3 nights a week, Monday through Wednesday night, and about once or twice a month we'll do weekends as well. And it's all about how sound affects you physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. We've got about a dozen different instructors. It's really incredibly transforming. And again, it goes right into the degree program, where we do full range of things, including research. We have students do research projects and actually have people do treatments on outside people after they, you know, get it down. So it's really, really cool. Also, we've got the store here that all the students get to use, the all the bowls and everything we have. We have tons of stuff here that students get to use during their sessions besides, you know, their own voice. So we also have that program online with live instructors or by video. And the next start time for that is September 1st. We have people from all over the world that take the program. Works quite well. We do voice healing on each other. We do toning, chanting, and mantra. And if you're interested in any of those classes, you can call us at 415-777-2486, or my email is david@soundhealingcenter.com. All the information is at soundhealingcenter.com. We also do have audio recording classes at the Institute and online as well. The Institute classes start October 5th, and it's all about learning how to run Pro Tools or some other digital audio workstation and use it in a way that changes people's lives forever. Really, just all the different techniques, including binaural beats, as to how to record sound healing music or incorporate sound healing techniques even into other types of music, like dance music or rock and roll, for that matter. We have that program online with live instructors or by video also, and it works really well because we've got our Pro Tools running right into the program. So you can see what we're mixing. You can see our screen in real time, and you can hear it in real time as well. We also have a really cool concert with Kevin James, who's going to be at the conference. He's doing a private concert here at the Institute on Saturday, September 5th, just a week from today, from 7 to 9:30. Oh, my God. Kevin is one of the best, most amazing kirtan guys on the planet, kirtan people on the planet. He's from Bali. He's coming here from Bali. He's really well known in Bali and Australia, and I've seen him in Bali quite a few times, and I've never experienced anything like it. You know what it's like? It's like Sanatan Kaur, where you go to the concert, and she doesn't even have to really sing a word there's so much love in the atmosphere. It's incredible. It's the same with Kevin James. It's just profound. I mean, people are in tears. People are in a state of stillness that I've not seen before. It's really quite amazing. So that's Saturday, September 5th here at the Institute, and it's by donation. Kevin has on his website all of his albums by donation. You get to choose how much you pay for his entire albums. What a concept, huh? The whole world should just be this way. It really should. It's really, really very cool to have that much trust, you know. So the concert here on the 5th is by donation as well. But, of course, the big thing we have happening is the Sound Healing Conference, and it's coming right up September 11th to the 14th, just across the bay here from San Francisco at the Oakland Kaiser Tower, which is actually a beautiful theater and breakout rooms, and we have exhibitors in the halls. We have free sound healing treatments for everybody that signs up. I mean, that's like a good big deal right there. We've also got, at the same time, there's the Outdoor Sound Healing Festival. On the fifth floor of the building, there's this beautiful park. It's like sacred geometry layout with ponds and fountains. And we've got two sound healing areas going there with a stage with sound healing music the whole day. And then there's food booths there as well. So it's really, really cool. You could do just the outdoor festival for $25 for the 2 days, or the indoor conference starts at $210. We also have post-conference workshops as well. And, oh, my God, I can tell you how amazing this conference is. I mean, I had over a dozen people come up to me last year and say it's the best conference they've ever been to. And the reason is because everybody's just in joy and bliss. I mean, even walking through the hallways, people are just toning and just so happy. It was really funny. Last year, we pull into the parking lot, and the attendant who's taking the money in the parking lot goes, ooh, and starts toning, right? And then we get at, we're walking into the building, and there's three construction workers laying cement on the ground, right? And they all three look up, and all three simultaneously go, I mean, it's just the whole area is entrained into this bliss. So I highly recommend that. You can find that information at globesoundhealingconference.com. And we've got Mitchell Gaynor, who is the main doctor in the field who's doing sound healing. We interviewed him a couple of weeks. We've got James Ushman, who does biophysics or the physiology of the body and how sound works precisely in the body. We have Jill Peirce, who is a major sound healer, a shaman that's been doing it for like 30, 40 years now. And we have Eliana here. Eliana is one of our keynotes and has been working in the field for quite a long time, doing a full range of different things. I saw Eliana years ago in Santa Fe. I think it was Santa Fe. So weird. I have this memory of a room, but I can't remember if it was Santa Fe or not. I think so. And she does a very cool, detailed work with the Hebrew letters in the workshop that I was in. But also has been doing different research. She did some research in Israel with some kids right in the middle of the war with sound healing, and is doing all types of other projects. Tell us more about some of the other things you're working on these days. Welcome to the show.
Boy, I can't wait to come to the conference after that great introduction. The field is, the school is an ancient wisdom and healing music academy, and it's a revival of, you know, the 25 years and the 60,000 hours researched into this is my dedication. I've dedicated my life to revive an ancient use of voice and rhythm as natural healing, transformation, and feminine leadership tools. Such was used in the Near East of pre-biblical times, and that's why for over 20 years I've lived in Israel. I mean, for the last year in back in California, where I was born and raised. But being in that ancient place and in the ancient sites as well, where this music was made, and actually I love teaching at the sites, and at the end of this year we'll be bringing another group back to Israel with me to these sites that are little known, but they are types of vortexes. And of course, in ancient times, we had a very, very highly sophisticated and conscious use of sound for healing and for spiritual and for engineering purposes as well. And sound was used to move particles. And I also surmise that through the sound, through the voices, and through the rhythms is how the seas parted. And actually, in my keynote, I'll show, if you come, you'll see exactly how that would happen.
Wow.
It's really, really cool. So, you know, how do you prove something that wasn't written down, that's thousands of years old, that, you know, is before things were written down? That's why I ended up going to the medical world when the Intifada came in 2000. I know the value of my voice, and you know each one of our voices makes such a difference. So, you know, faced with war, this is a perfect opportunity. I went to a neonatal intensive care unit near my home. I was living in the middle of the country. And that hospital serves a 50-50 Israeli-Palestinian population. Now, you know, in the best of times, a neonatal intensive care unit, which is who I suggested the project to, you know, in the best of times, a neonatal intensive care unit is very stressful. And, you know, in wartime with that type of population, it's ballistic. And, you know, fortunately, you know, as only can happen in Israel, you know, like necessity was the mother of invention. And it ends up that the head physician, you know, of the unit was, he still is a musician himself. And they agreed to a test, and it was very, very successful. And it resulted in a 3-year research project. And it ends up that was the first time that live music had been researched anywhere in the world.
So you played live music to the baby?
Yeah, it was. And this modality, it's based on wordless singing and rhythm. And the wordless singing also came by necessity, because when I went in there, what am I going to sing? Am I in English? That's ridiculous. I'm in the Middle East, you know, and if it's Hebrew, then the Arabic speakers aren't going to understand. And if it's in Arabic, the Hebrew speakers won't understand. Neither will the Russians nor the Ethiopians, you know, in Amhali. And so I just started to sing wordlessly. And then after the 3 years of the research, you know, we tested 20 minutes. The intervention was 20 minutes before they measured, 20 minutes before, 20 minutes during the music, and 20 minutes afterwards. And we were all waiting to see, you know, what'll be like during the music. And
how did they measure?
Respiration, aspiration, five different elements.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and actually, on the site there, and in my TED Talk, there's actually you can see a little piece of the research itself. And this, you know, this preemie who weighs, you know, 500 grams, seven, you know, like a pound. Mm-hmm. You know, like smiling. It's so amazing. It's really amazing.
So what was the outcome?
The outcome was that the live use of wordless singing and constant rhythm lowers heart rate, increases focus, quality of sleep, lowers blood pressure and heart rate. And the babies were measured, so were the medical staff worked so much more effectively themselves. And then the next project was that I began to build a training program for the parents, for the mothers, and also, you know, the fathers as well.
This is so cool. We just are doing a whole a curriculum for Montessori schools for sound healing, and it's going to be for kids from 0 to 18, and we just did the whole a lot of different treatment plans for just the 0 to 3 and 0 to 4 months and just the last week here.
It's such an important time, and you know, the thing about working with neonates that I found so appealing is that when you have a neonate, they're actually in the state of pre-birth, you know, developmentally. Mm-hmm. They're like in the womb, but they've been born. And the benefit of that is that you can see what happens to a fetus, only they're born.
Uh-huh.
And because of what happened with that, then you know, this is 15 years ago already, but then I started to work with pregnant women because it's known that the first trimester is the most danger. That's when a woman is in most danger of birth complications. And so if you can get a woman in her, you know, have an intervention at the beginning of her birth, well, wouldn't that help the birth?
Mm-hmm.
And then it could save all these premature babies and all of the complications that come with that. And we know that sound, to be able to hear sound, we need a conduit. And, you know, we on Earth, you know, once we're born, the conduit is air. Yet in utero, baby is hearing through the conduit of water, and water is four times as powerful as air is.
Yeah, four times as fast. Wow. So, I mean, this is so major. It should really be in every hospital. They should be doing this
in
every hospital.
It's really growing. And where are we now? 2015. So in 2010, I think it was, there was a really cool project through Beth Israel Medical Center, through Joanne Lowy, Dr. Joanne Lowy, who's head of the Louis Armstrong Music and Medicine Division there. And I was invited to participate.
What city is that?
Pardon?
What city?
In New York.
Oh, New York. Okay.
New York City. I was invited to participate in this. It was a world international project, 11 different countries, to put together we developed a prototype for a training program for music therapists specializing in neonatal care.
Wow.
And yeah, and I was invited because of our research.
So
yeah.
are there many hospitals that are doing this now, actually?
Yeah, and our research, there are at least, I mean, 10, 12 years ago, there were 8 other researches that were based upon ours. Mm-hmm. And my invitation to there was because I didn't know this, but, you know, it was the first time that had been done. So it's considered like one of the major researches having to do with live music in the NICU.
How many hospitals do you think might be using?
I don't know. Well, I know that a woman who the Swedish representative there, she said, "Oh, you're the one, that's you." We based our whole music therapy thing upon that research.
Oh, wow. So,
I mean, in the entire country of Sweden.
It seems like that we should, I mean, with funding, it would be good to just have a whole team of people going to hospital to say, come on, let's do this. Let's get it implemented because it's so effective and we have proof.
Yeah, and I mean, it's freely available. The results, they're in, you know, Birth Journal of Perinatal Care. It's the world's premier medical journal of, you know, of perinatal care, and it's in Sage publication and in Music and Medicine Journal, and I'm really, really proud of that one because the point for me that I'm most proud of is that, you know, when we talk about the, you know, the use of sound and particularly the use of voice and the, you know, the whole reason why I went was to take this kind of work forward when you're pioneering something that, you know, that hasn't been written down, you know, in the end everything is marketing, right? You know, like in our modern world you have to prove something for people to believe it. And I thought, well, if I'm full of hooey, you know, I'll go back to the States and I won't ask any questions anymore. I walked on faith for 25 years, and I still do to this day. And, you know, and if there are results, well, then, you know, it'll take the work one step forward, and it will help many more people. And then we can build a model, and then I can train other people, and then, you know, it can build a whole new era.
Yeah, it makes me think about all the different possibilities because, you know, we're doing all the research here. I mean, if you look at what frequencies, what timbres, what musical flow, what musical intervals. I mean, there's a woman that works on our staff. She's saying that the musical third is really one of the best for the babies. And what one thing that's really interesting as far as just babies, not neonatal, is that she's saying that from 0 to 4 months, they actually like more complexity, and because it's, I get them that I think the thing is that they're just coming from spirit, which is really everything, and so they don't really want simplicity. And then after 4 months, that's when they want more of the simplicity and the lullabies and very simple things where they can start bonding.
Yeah, and well, what they're looking for is it's mother's voice is the most important because they heard that in utero. And so, I mean, there are a lot of researches on mother's voice. Sandra Trehub out of the University of Toronto, she has really great work, and you said about thirds, fifths. The fifth is a really major biggie.
Yeah, always. And it's one of our test questions here at the school that the fifth is the most relaxing interval you can use.
Yeah, and in ancient times, you know, this is a revival of ancient use of sound, and in ancient times we still see it in the Eastern system of music. My music background is actually in classical and ethnic Eastern, from the Eastern world, meaning from North Africa to the Middle East to the Mediterranean to Central Asia, which is a very, very, very different approach to music than our Western approach to music. And what's great about Eastern music is it still has remnants of the ancient in it. And that five represents the divine feminine in ancient culture. You know, if you look at, you know, like nature, you know, we have five digits, you know, five toes. if you look at most, you know, flowers have five petals. You know, it's a, and it combines even an odd, you know, three and two. You know, yin and yang, masculine, feminine. So it's a balancing. There's a balance in it.
So you kind of work in two worlds, more the scientific and research area, but also the whole esoteric aspect of voice, because I know you have such an amazing voice. And so what tell us about what you do with your voice work.
Can you be more specific? Like,
yeah, it's probably a pretty general question.
Do you
channel God, or tell us what's the effects? Because I'm kind of leading into actually doing some voice here.
Oh, you are okay.
Yeah, because I want to hear your voice.
It's such a great question, David. What do I do? Here we use the focus of authenticity. Really, honestly, I don't do anything, and that's the honest truth.
Just get out of the way and let it come through.
Exactly. Yeah. It's what the process is connecting to feminine power. Well, I don't mean man, woman. What I mean by feminine is that magnetism is feminine power. That's attractive, It's attractive, not active. It's passive, but it's very active in its passivity. It's more what you don't do than what you do, where less is more and slow is fast, and it's connecting to that magnetic lava at the center of the universe and hooking into that, which is, it's always there. I mean, that's how we're standing on planet Earth. If we were on the moon, it would be a different story. But consciously plugging into that, and we'll work with that in the workshop that I'm going to do on Monday. We'll work with this.
Okay.
It's connecting to that and then listening and being in service to the sound and approaching the body as a beautiful instrument as it is. And this modality is called Voices of Eden because it's a living experiment of creating Eden on Earth one authentic voice at a time. Imagine what it would be like as each one of us stops to connect with our inner voice, that we dare listen to it, listen inside, and that we dare hear. Listening and hearing are two different functions. And in fact, here's a cool thing with Hebrew. And yes, that was Santa Fe. that was New Mexico.
Uh-huh, cool.
And I don't remember I did Hebrew there. Yeah, that was fun, that conference. The main Hebrew prayer is Shema. Shema. Hebrew is a spiritual language. It's actually feminine in nature. And it's based on, it's written from right to left. Because the ancient language is Hebrew, Arabic, and the Ugaritic languages. Those are when we were still operating from the other hemisphere of the brain. And they're spiritual in nature. And so depending upon, each letter has a vibratory rate and it has a value. And I don't mean a cognitive value. It's a visceral, physical, holistic value that when you attune to the frequency, you also divine the inner essence of it. And then each letter has a value to it as well. So if we take Shema, which is to hear, the Shin, the first letter, is the representation of the divine, and it combines masculine and feminine. Have you ever heard of El Shaddai? So it's like the physical manifestation of divinity, but it combines feminine and masculine.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Mem, the second letter, means, that's the mother sound, and it means from within. And then the Ayin, the last letter, is I, like into C, I. So if you put those together, Shin, you know, physicality comes from within, from seeing. And isn't that what hearing is? When you see something from within, you like get it from within.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just listening to something, it's hearing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's receiving it. Isn't that cool?
Yeah. Wow.
So that's what I'm doing when, you know, it's not a doing, it's attuning.
Mm-hmm.
It's listening. It's, and then, you know, like we attune an instrument. It literally is that. And there's always something coming up. You know, there's like flow versus block.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always, you know, the constant is there'll always be some thought or some block coming up. But that's the whole fun. That's where the artistry comes in. The play is, okay, where's the flow? Where do I get out of the way and just listen and be in service and, you know, and let her rip and release and just... It's not releasing. It's like, you know, when you attune there, then whatever block is coming up, when you're attuned and listening, and you bring your focus back down to the center of the earth or to, you know, to that magnetic force, whatever is the sound is so powerful because that's the essence of all matter. It just breaks up the block.
Uh-huh.
And block is just congealed energy, so that when the block breaks up, then the energy is freed to be used, like for, you know, with your sounding your voice. And that's why the sound is so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not my voice. I mean, you know, it's, you know, so it may be sounding out of my body, but everyone can do it. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, we'll experience it. But both in the keynote and in, you know, we'll go more in depth in the workshop. And it's so, I mean, that in ancient times, we were so conscious of it. And even buildings, structures were structured for that. So imagine, you know, imagine being in a womb space, because there are buildings in my hometown of Kiryat Tivon. There's, and we go there on the tour. It's just, and you can see it on my, there are videos on the YouTube channel. And the YouTube channel is Voices of Eden-Ancient Israel. There are more than 200 videos on there.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and more coming out all the time. But in there, the sound is just, you know, imagine it reverberating inside of your very pores, you know, your very cells, just reverberating, you know, and our bodies are 70-80% water.
Mm-hmm.
And it's astounding. And the place itself reverberates. So
this
that
is
it bounces
back. Where in Israel is this?
Pardon?
Where?
Well, there are many, many places. We go on the program. We begin in the south at Timna, which at the temple of Hathor, which is Hathor temple, to the north, where I was just speaking of now is Beit Shearim, which is in Galilee. And it's an ancient catacomb. And the catacombs, you know, you go in and they're built like womb spaces. It's round.
Mm.
And the temples and the sacred spaces, they were built acoustically.
Yeah.
You know, quite consciously.
So that the resonant frequency is a portal to other
dimensions. Yeah, it's so amazing. I can't describe it. That's why I teach through, you know, like
just
a major
there.
Part of the teaching is bringing people there. You know, you imagine yourself. Okay, so imagine like that sound of the voice, you know, that comes out of me, but imagine it coming from you and many other people, and it's coming from the space as well, because the space really has an impact.
Yeah.
You know, and imagine, you know, the experience of going beyond your cognitive mind, you know, into your higher mind, you know, you are that, you know, we are that. It's difficult to speak about because we're speaking now and that's a cognitive process, but this is a use of sound at such a higher level, you know, at the level of creation. That's why in every religion we have this notion of sound, you know, Vayomar Vayehi'o in Hebrew, and God said, let there be light. Yet in the translation, it loses in the translation because the English is cognitive. That's, you know, an intellectual language. In the Hebrew of it, Vayomar Vayehi'o, it's self-evident. The word Amar is the Aleph is the Alpha and the Omega. It's the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It's Breshit. It's the Genesis. You know, it's like the everything in existence. And there we have the Mem again, is the middle letter, is the mother sound coming from within. And Resh is a fire symbol, you know, that ignites and goes towards something. So when you say Vayomar, Aleph, you know, everything in existence, you know, the Alpha and the Omega comes from the inside out and is, you know, and is sent outwards. But again, I'm explaining this. It's like when you experience it, I know you know what I'm talking about.
Sure.
You know, when you experience something, it's so much more meaningful. And then being in these ancient places that were where the prophetesses and the priestesses, and it was the women who were the leaders, and they were heads of societies. Leaders would go to the temples and they would avail themselves of special applications of sound that would bypass the intellect and connect them to that higher place so that they could have more clarity in decision making and rejuvenate and replenish batteries and, you know, their energy and, you know, go out and continue to be very powerful.
I had so many major experiences in Egypt. I imagine it's
very amazing.
You know, I can't wait for you to meet the rabbi who teaches here, Rabbi Stephen Postel.
Yeah, I look forward to it.
He's like the master of the Kabbalah and has written three books on it. And I think you guys will really connect.
Yeah, I look forward to it.
Can you do, he's also doing a whole chanting thing at the conference as well.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. So can you give us an example? What would be a good example to do for us?
Let's see. It's always interesting over the phone. It'll be the authenticity that will come through more than the resonance. Though it does, technology is a really good example of how it's it's the essence of the sound that's actually more powerful. It's the actual resonance of the sound and the frequency of the sound is much higher than the frequency of the technology. I don't think technology has gotten there yet. So,
right. I think it's limited to about 6,000 or 7,000 hertz, and then the harmonics go way beyond that.
Well, okay. So just let's have, since our focus is authenticity, because this music is always, also there's always a focus. And so let's focus on authenticity, and you, dear listener, you can just sit back and relax and just see where the sound, I'm just going to sing without the drums because difficult with the telephone. Not difficult, but it just, I feel like just singing with voice right now. That's what authentically is coming up. And imagine, not in your mind, but, you know, this is an opportunity for you to dare to just connect with yourself simply, authentically, inside. You deserve it. You're so important. Your voice is so important.
No, it's huge.
And what is it that you have? It's authentically yours, because there are no two voices that are alike, to contribute to this world, and to dare listen to yourself, to dare that. You deserve to. Feminine use of voice and rhythm were used in ancient times. And I'm going to be, I'm like filing through photos and video clips as well from the ancient sites. So I really hope to be able to share that on, so that people, you know, in Oakland can actually be in the sites. And we'll actually be doing some exercises during, it'll be experiential as well. So not only to share about that, but to be able to experience it. And then in the workshop, the next morning, we'll be working more in depth with the use of voice and rhythm as natural healing transformation and feminine leadership tools. And this is a use of voice that helps you to connect with the source of your power, the source of your feminine power. And that can be a man or a woman that connects to that. And, you know, imagine yourself being able to remain calm and serene and connected and confident inside, no matter what's going on around you. You know, if I can, well, bombs are dropping around me. Anybody can. It really is possible. And it's just very, very, very fun. It's really,
like
really
the most
fun.
Important lesson we could ever learn.
Yeah, you're right. It's, you know, all fine and dandy when everything's going well, but, you know, with everything changing, with the world in flux and, you know, coming apart at the seams, you know, now we're in such times of uncertainty and flux that, you know, we're all going through such changes and conscious use of sound in our voices, even the use of our voices silently inside. Now that's a sound can be used constructively or destructively, and so much of the time we're using our voices destructively and we're not even aware of it. And I'll be sharing about what those are, these hidden ways you may be self-sabotaging yourself without even knowing it by a destructive use of your voice and what you can do to turn that around.
So how can people get in touch with you?
You could go to the website, to voicesofeden.com.
Okay.
And we're just in the midst of rebuilding right now. So right now, as I speak, I think the old site is still up and the new opt-in, you know, the new entry page is not up yet. You're welcome to a beautiful, beautiful gift right now of a wisdom kit and healing music. And then when the new site comes up, I have a new healing music application on there that's majorly great also with bells, with ancient bells. Bells were used to dissipate negative energy. And that's voicesofeden.com. And the Facebook page, please come by and visit. It's facebook.com/healingvoice. Not healing voices, but healing voice, singular. And the YouTube channel is Voices of Eden - Ancient Israel. And on there, you know what? On the YouTube channel, there's a video, boy, what is it called? Maybe Sound Healing in Feminine Voices of Ancient Times, something like that. There may be 70,000 views, 75,000 views. That is shot in Beit Shalim, the place I was talking about. So you'll be able to see that. And it's also shot in Tzipori, where we'll also be working on the Well of Wisdom tour in December. That's an ancient water well. And we'll also be visiting the wells of the prophetess Miriam, of Mary's Well, and Magdalena. And those places are amazing because they show the power of this energy. It actually show the power of voice, silent voice.
Nice.
That keeps the water very, very clear, even if around those wells at times they're not on, these places aren't on the tourist track.
Cool.
And
thank you.
You're welcome.
We're out of time now, but thanks so much for joining us.
And you're welcome.
Really appreciate it and look forward to your workshop myself.
Yeah, I look forward to coming, and you do such beautiful work, David, such a service to so many people.
Thank you
so much.
So what I'd like to do is, since this is our last radio show before the conference, I wanted to play a little bit of Kevin James because no one's really heard him much. So I'm going to play a song of his before to go out here. And this is from his album, his latest album. Again, we end with the intention of authenticity. And so, as usual, we can hold that in frequency into the rest of the evening or the rest of the weekend. Imagine holding authenticity for weeks and months ahead, and even years and lifetimes. Thanks so much, and take care. This is Kevin James.
Yeah. Hami ham ram ham, hami ham ram ham, hami ham ram ham, hami ham ram. Hami ham ram ham, 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 hami ham.